Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, The Secret to Success with God. As a Christian, are you striving to please the Lord with your life? Job lived at the same time as Abraham, 3,500 years ago, separated only by the Jordan River. There is no other man recorded in the Bible who suffered so greatly as Job, because Satan used his entire arsenal in order to have him curse God. Not much is known about Job, but we do know he loved God and faithfully walked with him, and his life gave us a glimpse of what happens in the courthouse of heaven. Job was able to fend off blow after blow and stay true to God because of his deep love and faith in God, and his salvation based upon the future Redeemer. No wonder that Job was one of the men that God preferred. Come and join us for this powerful message so you can learn how to have faith in God and walk in victory. It is entitled, Job, a Man of Faith. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. And my outline said February 27th, but I was sick. This should be March 6th that I'm here today. And I'm going to be talking to you about the secret to success with God. This is my third installment on this. And we're going to talk about Job, a man of faith. Let's stand and pray before we get into the message. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that I can be in a pulpit today, that you have given me back my health. And I praise you mightily for that, Lord. And Father God, I'm just going to ask you right now for an anointing upon myself, an anointing upon every listener. That Father God, if we dig into the scriptures, we shall find out how you want us to live. And how we can line up with you, Lord. And I praise you and I bless you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to have you turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 14. I'm going to start there today. That's the book of Ezekiel, the 14th chapter. And what triggered this series of sermons was this, that I read in the Bible that God preferred some people over others. Now, I'm sure that each one of us, you have people you don't like, you have people you tolerate, then you have relatives, and then you have friends. And among your friends, you have people that you like more than others. You simply prefer them more. Now, God is not a respecter of persons. And he talks about in Romans chapter 2 and Acts 10 that God will save any person that calls for him. He's not a respecter of persons that way. But God does prefer some people over others. If you look upon the disciples, the 12 apostles, we find that among the 12 apostles, there was an inner group and there was an outer group. Peter, John, and James. John and James, brothers, and Peter. They were part of the inner group. When Jesus went up on the mountain, the Transfiguration, he didn't take the 12 apostles with him. He took three with him, Peter, John, and James. When he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, he had all 12 follow him, not 11, because Judas had left him. But then he only took three with him to the inner place where he was going to pray. John, Peter, and James. Why did Jesus prefer these men above the other apostles? But if you read the scripture, you will find that these were the three men that pushed in the hardest. And they were simply totally devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. The strange thing is that James didn't live that long. Matter of fact, James was the first apostle to be killed. And James probably only lived maybe 6 months after the resurrection. And thus James never had a chance to develop his ministry. He was taken early. We don't know why. So the question is this. God loves us unconditional, but God prefers some people over others. Now, if you want to go out for dinner with somebody, you want to do something fun, when you select somebody to go with you, you don't want a complainer to go with you. Complainers are not funny to be around, are they? You know, all that complaining, you know. If you want to go out, you want somebody cheerful, happy, that you can laugh together with and be with. And this is what I feel that God is looking for. In Ezekiel chapter 14, I'm going to pick it up in verse number 12. And we're just going to read two verses here to get the gist of this. And let me start in verse 12. The word of the Lord came again to me saying, Son of man, when a land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, says the Lord God. Now Noah, Daniel, and Job could not deliver their families. And it's the same thing today. You cannot deliver your wife or children. You have to be born again by yourself. Every one of us got to be born again. But these three men, if you look at that chapter several times more, that is very peculiar that God simply said this, if these men were there, they would be saved. Why did he talk about others? Apparently, these were men that he preferred. We talked about Noah. We talked about Daniel, and today we're going to talk about Job. Now, I preached on Job a few times here and there, and the Holy Spirit just gave a little fresh insight here. Now, the name Job is a Hebrew word, and it means hated. Now, how would you like to name your son Hated? This is what Job was called. Hated. Who hated Job? Well, the Bible says the devil hated him. Now, it's a good thing to be hated by the devil and loved by God. I give a little bit of background here about Job. Job lived about the time of Abraham. And Job lived on the east side of the Jordan River, and Abraham lived on the west side. They both came out of Chaldea. There was about 300 years after the flood. And if you look upon this, now we don't know a whole lot about Job, but if you look upon this, from the Bible we know that Noah and his son Shem were alive when Abram was born. In other words, when Job walked on the earth, Noah was still alive, and so was Shem. The knowledge of God what had transpired before the flood had been transferred to both Abraham and Job. Now, when you read the book of Job, you got to understand how it came into being. Matter of fact, let's just turn to the book of Job right now. And if you think that Job had this book, forget it. How many of you have read your obituary? Hello? How many of you have read your obituary? You're not dead yet. It's not written yet. Part of your obituary is written. Your life up to now has been recorded. Your family knows it. Records are there. But the ending, you do not know. There are many things that we happen to us, but we have no knowledge of. Some records are closed. Now, when Job lived, he did not know that there was, number one, a courthouse in heaven. He didn't know that. He did not know that Satan roamed the earth back and forth, seeking whom he could devour. He didn't know that there was a discussion in a courtroom in heaven over Job. All he knew was that he loved the Lord. So understand when we read Job, that the information in Job chapter 1 and 2 was not known until Job, until much later. Moses was the one that took the writings of Job and put it together in a book as we have it here today. Let's turn to our second page in the outline. Let's look upon the character of Job. And you read here from chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, whose name was hated. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, you and I have read that many times, and we don't understand really what the word means. The word perfect in Hebrew used here is tam, T-A-M in English, which means plain. In today's language, it would be described as straightforward. So perfect to you and me means that someone has no faults. He doesn't say that. He'd say that Job was straightforward. Upright, what does that mean? It means honest, just, honorable. Which it means fear God. He worshiped God with great respect. Eschewed evil means he avoided, he abstained from evil. Look upon a characteristic now of Job. He was straightforward, no lying. He was honest, just, honorable. He worshiped the Lord with great respect. And he simply avoided evil. He rejected evil. That was a character of Job. Now he had concerns. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. And we read here from verses 2 through 5 in the chapter 1 here. And there was born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. On this side of the Jordan River, he was the greatest. He even had servants, didn't cook his own food and stuff like this. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for the three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of the feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings, according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. We have not learned about his character. We learned that he was rich. And we learned his greatest concern was his children. These were party-going children. They liked to drink. They liked to eat. They were party animals, if I can use that term. And Job constantly prayed for them and sacrificed and sacrificed. But they did not change. Turn now with me to 1 Peter 5:8. That's 1 Peter 5:8. And this is what the apostle tells us here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Can I use the term of an IRS agent? Now, you know that an IRS agent is always looking for people cheating on taxes. That's their job. Enforce a tax law. And we got some retired IRS people here. They're good people. They worked in a different way in a congregation. But you know, if you have an IRS agent call you up and say, we're going to audit your income tax for the last 4 years, and we want you to come to our office and bring all your records. You know what happens? You break out in cold sweat, you know, and you begin to, oh no. And so you don't, when you meet the agent, you say, well, why don't we have lunch first and just have, you know, a nice time? You know, he's looking for one thing, and that is to find mistakes. He wants to find mistakes that you made so he can nail you. Because if he can nail you, that means he brings some money in. And, you know, it would increase his stature. Now, the devil is like that. He doesn't like you. And he hates each one of us. And he simply has a courthouse in heaven. We talk about that. And that's where he goes with his accusers. And when the devil looks at you, he's looking for fault. He wants to find out, are you lying? Are you cheating on your wife? Are you cursing? Are you into pornography? Is there anything he can find? He wants to find dirt on you. And once he finds dirt on you, he will go to the courthouse and tell Jesus, I've gone through the earth to and fro, and I found this sorry-looking disciple of yours. And here's what he or she is doing. And I demand to sift them. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because the adversary of the devil is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The number one thing that Satan looks for is if you are breaking God's commandments. This is what he's looking for. Because if you break God's commandments, Satan has the legal right to afflict us. Probably one of the hardest things to avoid is gossip. Ooh, that's a dirty word. You might say, well, you know, I'm not a woman, I don't gossip. Oh, yeah? You know, any time when we run somebody down, negative, we're gossiping. We're breaking God's command. We are simply cursing somebody. So what you want to do is this. Anything you do, ask yourself this. Is it violating God's word? Am I in God's will? Then the devil has nothing to have in you. That's why Jesus said, the devil comes. The prince of this world comes. But he has nothing in me. There was no sin. Be sober, be vigilant. Because the adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Well, Job found out that this is exactly what the devil did. Let's read from verse 6 to 12 now, in Job 1. Now there was a day when the sons of God, these are angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, where do you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a man that is straightforward. He is honest. He worships me. And he rejects evil. Do you think the devil would like to hear that? He knew that. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? With other words, yeah, he's worshiping you, but look what you're giving him. Have you not made a hedge about him and about his house, about all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his substance increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. This is what Satan does with you and me. And the Lord said to Satan, you can't do that. He doesn't say that. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only for himself, put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth in the presence of the Lord. And you read the rest of the chapter. His children got killed. He lost all his possessions. He lost absolutely everything. And then I want you to see Job's response. Then Job arose after he lost all the things. Rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped. He worshipped God. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was hard for Job. He didn't understand this. This came out of the left field. Suddenly it was like God simply removed all the protection which he did. And he lost everything. Satan works the same today. You can't get a job. You're squeezed financially. This is a problem, that's a problem. And it gets tighter and tighter. And Satan is simply saying, blow up, get angry, do something, curse God, lose it. When Moses came with the Israelites up from Egypt to the Red Sea, he didn't have American combat engineers with him that could put a pontoon bridge over the Red Sea. He didn't have helicopters to fly the people over. He came up to the Red Sea, and when he looked at the Red Sea, he knew he couldn't walk across it. That was too deep. Too far. He got the Egyptians behind him. He got mountains on both sides. Now, why does God do that? Why did God put Moses in such a place? Because it is in a tight place where you get faith. If you get a whole bunch of money coming down on top of you, all your problems are solved. You don't need faith. You got your bank book. But God brings you to the place where your resources are gone and there's nothing there. And you simply have to worship God. The people complained, but Moses worshiped God on this side of the Red Sea. Once they were delivered, everybody danced on the other side. It's easy to dance and rejoice after you had a victory. But God wants to take us time and time again to the place where we can rejoice Him before we have the victory. So Satan said, well, okay, that didn't work out. So turn me to Job chapter 2. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves for the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself for the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from whence do you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man. There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. And still he holds fast his integrity. Although you move me against him to destroy him without cause. This is what God is looking for. He's looking for you and me to keep worshiping God when we are in a tight situation. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. But put forth your hand now, touch his bones, his flesh, he will curse you to your face. You know, when you get sick, it doesn't feel good. You can't think properly. Your thinking is not right. And this is when the demons come in and try to twist you. And then Satan said this, but put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. He will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your hand, but save his life. Job did not know that Satan had a leash on him. There was a limit. He didn't know that. So when Satan fought for the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. I want you to see this now. Job had served God all his days. First, he lost his 10 children. They died. He lost all his possessions. And suddenly now he's lost his health. He's sick. Sicker than a dog. He does not know what's going on in heaven. He does not know that there is a contest. And then Satan simply says, well, I'm going to finish him. And his wife attacks him. Then said his wife unto him, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. Commit suicide, man. Get it over with. You're toast. You're done. But Job said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? I want to take it to a deeper level today than where you have ever been. We notice that Jesus heals. We know that God wants to have an abundant life, where there's going to be prosperity. But there's also going to be times in our life of great pain. Great pain. You might have money, but you don't have peace. There might be you being attacked by people that loves you and so on. What do we do in these times? Do we simply go to the doctor to get tranquilizers? Do we medicate ourselves with some alcohol or drugs? What do you do when you're simply down to absolutely rock bottom and you don't know where is God? There's only one place to go, and that is this. You got to start thanking God for your situation. Begin to thank Him and say, my Heavenly Father, with my intellect, I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense at all to me. But I do know that you are in control. I do know you love me. You have a plan for my life. And this is happening to me for a reason. Help me to worship you while I'm going through this difficult time. The difficult time will not last forever. It's a testing ground. You see, you and I are going to have positions in heaven. And when we die, we're not going to grow spiritual anymore. Whatever growth you have is going to be on this earth. And God is simply looking to see how we solve problems, how we hold up under the most tremendous pressure in the world. How do we handle that? Because, you see, if you fall apart here, He cannot put you over much. Probably one of the most grueling trainings that anyone has in the United States Armed Forces are the Navy SEALs. The Navy SEALs are the top of all special forces. And the training, when they go through training, the training is to weed out as many as possible. They might start with 500 men and finish with 10. Why? Because when they send out a Navy SEAL team, they're going to go behind enemy lines. And they don't want them to fail. They don't want them to break down. They want them to be able to function. And that's done during the training time. You and I are in training for eternity. Embrace your training and start praising God. Job was devastated. Let's read from verse 1 through 13, chapter 3. After this, Job his mouth and cursed his day. Now, he had been silent for 7 days. 7 days after this disaster hit him, he opened his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish when I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. How many times have you cursed your birth? How many times have you said, I hate that I was born? I wish you would have died. Let the day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let it shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let the cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let not be joined unto you the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the month. Lo, let the night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up in the morning. Let the stars of the twilight, there be dark, that they'd look for light, but have none. Neither did see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest. With kings and castles of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves. Over with princes that had gold who filled their houses with silver. Or as a hidden, untimely birth, I had not been as an infant which never saw light. There the wicked cease from trembling, and there the weary be at rest. And then in verse number 25, he says this, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. What did he fear? His children was going to sin and die. That which I was afraid of is coming to me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Now, there will be times when we are to the place of absolute, total despondency. Back in about 1995, Billy Shekhan was assistant pastor. We had a upheaval in the church. And I had a man that ripped the church apart. And he took out 80% of the people. It was a tremendous bad battle. And at that time, we've been fighting for many years at that time, and I simply lost all my power. And Bill Chacon and Warren Campbell, an elder at that time, they literally carried me out. And I remember after the morning service, they carried me out. They took me in the car, my wife and me, and they took us out someplace to eat. And these two men ministered to me because I had lost all things. I was just devastated. There will come times in your life when Satan will hit you that hard. Praise God for men and women that will stand with you. Now, I'm thanking God that these men spoke to me, prayed over me, and got me back on my feet. Because at that time I was thinking, just like Job, where is the nearest morgue? I want to go and get slabbed and just, you know, relax. Okay? So we're going to have that. Job was devastated. Now, when Satan has you down, he doesn't fight fair. He hits you under the belt. He used his Job's three friends. And his friends, you know, when you are down and out, you don't need to hear how bad you are. You don't need to hear, you know, well, you know, if you would have done this, if you would have done that, you know, this would not have happened. You don't need to hear that. When you're down and out, you need someone that will simply love you, hold you, and simply say, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Things will work out. Satan will use your best friends to attack you. He used Job's wife, and now his friends attacked him. Let's turn to Job chapter 8. It's Job, the 8th chapter. If you pick it up here in verse 1. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, how long will you speak these things, and how long shall be the words of your mouth? Be like a strong wind. He simply said, hey, man, you're just like a bag of wind. Empty words. Does God pervert judgment? Or does the Almighty pervert justice? If your children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away for that transgression, if you would seek unto God betimes, and make a supplication to the Almighty, if you were pure and upright, surely now he would awake for you, and make the habitation of your righteousness prosperous. They're simply saying this, hey Job, your children are dead. Now how would you like if you have a child, and the child commits suicide or overdoses on drugs, and you're grieving your heart out, and one of your friends comes up and says, well, you know, you didn't raise that child right. You know, this is what you should have done. Your child would have never killed himself if you would have done this and that. Is that going to help you in your grief? It's going to make you put you further down. That's how Satan works. That's why he's known as an accuser. He simply heaped it on Job. And now Job began to suffer mentally. Turn to chapter 9:17. 9:17. For he breaks me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not suffer me to take my breath, but fills me with bitterness. It was a tremendous suffering mentally. And I'm sure that you have beaten yourself up over the years of past mistakes. We all have made mistakes. And we can either join the devil and beat ourselves up, or we can simply say, I'm going to move on, and I'm going to have God minister to me. If you then turn to Job chapter 13, it's Job chapter 13. This is one of these self-preaching sermons. You take it home and finish it up yourself. In Job 13:15, we read this. Job said this, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him. Job said, I don't understand why I'm sick. I don't understand why my wife turned against me, why my friends turned against me. But though God will slay me, I will trust him. He said, God, I'm going to trust you with a knife. And sometimes God does surgery on us. And he says, God, this hurts. Don't understand it. But you've got to come to the place where you simply says, God, I'm going to trust you even if you kill me. And then turn to Job 19. That's Job chapter 19. Have you picked it up in verse number 25? This is what Job said. For I know that my Redeemer lives, that he shall stand the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy his body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, that my reins be consumed within me. If you are saved, you have the foundation. Now, Job looked forward to the cross. We look back. And Job simply said this, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Messiah lives. And I will stand with him in the end. I know that. To get out of your situation is to begin to stand on your salvation and say, if nothing else holds, I know this. Jesus Christ will never leave me nor forsake me. I am safe in the arms of Jesus. I'm going home someday. And when you have that anchor, things will begin to turn around. Turn to Job chapter 38 right now. God now is answering Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now your loins like a man, for I will demand of you and answer you me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Was laid the measure thereof, if you know, who has stretched the line thereupon? Whereupon are the foundation thereon fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now you read these next chapters, and God is simply laying out who he is, and saying to Job, tell me, where were you when I did all these things? Now turn to Job chapter 42. That's Job, the 42nd chapter. And this is the confession of Job now. This is where you and I need to be. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know you can do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from you. Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech you that I will speak, I will demand of you and declare you unto me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes sees you. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job is not simply saying this, my Heavenly Father, I'm sorry I doubted you. I could not understand what was going on, and I ask you to forgive me. This is where we need to be. Simply saying, Father God, I don't understand this. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to repent. I'm going to seek your face. Job had not at this time been told what had happened to him, what Satan had done. And then we find in verse number 7 that God rebuked the men that attacked him. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, and the Lord sent to Elishaphat the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken on me the thing that is right that my servant Job has. They were humbled, and they were simply asked, you better have Job pray for you. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job. Offer up for yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have spoken on me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So they simply asked for prayer. They got prayer, and God blessed them. Restoration. God healed Job and blessed him more than before Satan's attack. And God gave him additional 7 sons and 3 daughters. And you find in the rest of the chapter how God simply blessed Job above abundance. Spiritual insight. There is no man recorded in the Bible that has suffered as great as Job. Satan used his entire arsenal to break him. He took away his livelihood. He killed all his children. He turned his wife against him. Sent his three best friends to lambast him. How was Job able to stand and not break down? Because of his deep love for God, his faith in God, and his salvation based upon a future Redeemer. Let's turn to John 15 as we come to a close here. The Gospel of John chapter 15. As we're coming into the end times, there's going to be tough times. All the men that have been before us, D.L. Moody, Martin Luther, we go down the line. Every one of these men suffered greatly. They have children killed, loss of family. Loss of income. They were maligned. They were attacked. Satan tried to wipe them out. In these last days, God is looking for men and women. They can stand up and say, I'm standing upon a rock, Jesus Christ. He is my salvation. My future is secure. Things happening here, just circumstantial, but my eyes are focused upon Jesus. Am I out of the suffering? No. We still have, on a daily basis, different things happening. Same thing with you. Every day you have to suffer things. There's always things around us. But let me take you to John 15 right now. If you read here a couple of verses. Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father, husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Job is in heaven today. I think he will have a different name in eternity. I know he will, because he says we shall all have a new name. But I wish I could go and meet Job and just sit down and have in the cafeteria someplace and just have some heavenly lunch. And say, Job, how do you feel now? He's going to say, you know what? I am so happy that Satan could not break me. I think that is the greatest achievement he had. I am so happy that Satan couldn't break me. When you get to heaven, will you be able to say, thank God, Satan could not break me. Satan could not take away my testimony. He might have taken away a minister from you. He might have taken away jobs from you, friends. I mean, I lost many things in my life. It's one thing I never lost. Jesus Christ. And I never will lose him. Abiding in Jesus Christ is the only way to be able to stand and finish living for God on this earth. Look at the last scripture that we put in here in the outline. From James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Do you have endurance? Do you have patience? And you know, look at the statements here. Remember, It's not so important how you begin your life at the salvation, but how you finish it. It doesn't matter how good or how bad you started out. It's a finish line. When you got a big race, and you got, let's say you have a marathon, you got thousands of people starting. You know, you don't find the cameras up at the starting line, you know, and taking and see, oh, look at this guy here, you know, how he going this and that. They don't care about the starting line. They care about the finish line. That's where the cameras are. It doesn't matter how you started, good or bad. It matters how you finish. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you that you made it possible for my throat to hold up, Lord, and I was able to finish this message. And Father, it's kind of ironic to preach on Job after being very sick for a few weeks. But I want to thank you, Lord, that even though I was at worst, I knew that I was going to be well. And Father God, today, I pray for men and women that watched us, those that are here, Lord, that you will give them faith. Give them comfort, Lord. Comfort that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Things might be tough. We might lose everything except our shirt, but we will never lose our salvation. And if I have my salvation, I can always start over again. That's not a problem. But if I don't have my salvation, I got nothing. I thank you right now, Lord, for ministering to people. Holy Spirit, touch those that are in need. Strengthen feeble knees. Encourage us, Lord. And thank you for your healing touch. And I bless you greatly now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The altars are open here. The elders are here waiting for you. We'll pray for you, deacons, to minister to you, whatever need you have. And if you're watching us and you say, well, I sure would like someone to pray with me, call us later on. Write us. We'll be there. But most of all, call on Jesus right now, where you are, and he will meet you now.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work. 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the third part in the series, The Secret to Success with God, and was entitled, Job, a Man of Faith. Job lived at the same time as Abraham, 3,500 years ago, separated only by the Jordan River. He is the third and final man whom God preferred over other men. Interestingly, his name means hated in Hebrew, and that was the case with Satan as his adversary, who used his entire arsenal to have Job curse God. Job loved God and faithfully walked with Him, and his life gave us a glimpse of what happens in the courthouse of heaven. Job was able to fend off blow after blow and stay true to God because of his deep love and faith in God and his salvation based upon the future Redeemer. No wonder that Job was one of the men that God preferred. You too can live a victorious life if you stand on the Word of God and proclaim your love for Him. Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1280. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.